Final hour has arrived, and we are off and running. What an afternoon it has been, and let's keep going. Shannon is up next. Hey, Shannon.
Hey, Paul. Thanks very much for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'd like to make three quick points about the Alan Judd interview you had earlier.
Right.
First point, Paul, there's nothing new under the sun. Young men driving too fast is a problem everywhere. It's not unique to Georgia. And when Mr. Judd says there is little accountability at Georgia, the guy has no idea. He's just trying to promote a narrative to get clicks for AJC.com. I believe, and I think a lot of Georgia fans believe, Kirby is doing all he can to get these players to slow down. And it's asinine to assume that because Kirby doesn't report punishments to the AJC, that nothing is being done. That's point number one. Point number two, this is not the AJC with which you and I grew up.
No.
If you go back to the 1980s, you'll remember, you know, we used to have the Atlanta Constitution in the morning and the Journal in the afternoon. We had two newspapers full of serious journalists. At some point, they combined, and it became a bunch of repackaged content from the Associated Press. And now it's a digital product that I would argue is basically a rag. It's built for clicks. It's just a lot of inflammatory headlines, which is why you get allegations that Georgia has an out-of-control culture. Third, what's really maddening is when Mr. Judd continues to subtly smear one of our staffers. I think this time he referred to him as, quote, the gentleman who handles criminal cases under the table. Now, Georgia fans know who this guy is, and you probably do too. He is a great, high-character, stand-up guy. He's a big part of the glue of the program. And I would challenge you, the next time you're in Athens this fall, ask the coaches about him, talk to him. Most specifically, ask the players about him. He's a positive force for good. He sets an excellent example. And it's maddening and it's wrong for somebody like Mr. Judd to smear him for cheap clicks online. So thanks very much, Paul. I appreciate your show. And go Dawgs.
Thank you, Shannon. Shirley is calling next. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Mr. Feinbaum, for taking my call.
Thank you.
Best wishes for the speedy recovery of Todd from Shelby, Alabama, and also best wishes to Mitch from South Carolina for the ordeal facing him in the upcoming days. Mr. Feinbaum, I would just simply like to comment that I characteristically have not watched college baseball, but the super regional matchups this weekend were positively riveting. Unfortunately, the bluegrass representative withered under the LSU onslaught. That team was most impressive. Wake Forest appears absolutely invincible, and special recognition should be given to young Mr. Chase Dolander, the absolutely amazing pitcher of the Tennessee Volunteers. Best wishes to all the teams remaining, and the appearance of an absolutely fabulous College World Series to come. Have a lovely evening, everyone. Goodbye.
Thank you very much. And I know some of you were by now hoping to watch the Tennessee Southern Miss game, the important game three down in Hattiesburg. They are currently in a rain delay and could be there for a short, maybe a long period of time. Hopefully not. But that is where that game was scheduled to start at the top of the hour, and we're waiting for an update. It's always tough when you're in a rain delay before the game starts. There was lightning in the area. John is up next in South Carolina. Hello, John.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon. How are you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you very much.
Good. Earlier today, you were talking about like certain sites that college football needs to play. Again, South Carolina's got to go to Charlotte to play North Carolina again. By the way, I hope to see you there Saturday night on 7:30 and the SEC Network, too, because we need a loud there. And I don't know why they have to keep doing that, because they have to go to Charlotte. Why can't we do like Clemson does? Clemson goes to, you know, Chapel Hill, or, you know, they're going to play Clemson there. But why does South Carolina have to keep doing that? And another thing is, do you think Rattler will be ready for Drake May? And I know my good friend Dave is listening. He's a Georgia fan. I just want to tell him there's going to be an upset this year. South Carolina's going to come to Sanford Stadium and probably pull an upset, I hope. But, Paul, do you think South Carolina has a chance to upset another big team this year?
Yeah, I do. Drake May is a spectacular quarterback, but I think overall South Carolina is in good shape. And the program just has so much momentum going on. As far as that game, that's ultimately a decision by the school. There's an advantage in playing that game in Charlotte. For those who don't know the geography, Charlotte literally sits on the South Carolina border. There's a heavy onslaught in that city, which is very large, of both Clemson and South Carolina fans. So I've stated repeatedly, I'm not crazy about these non-conference games. I mean, every once in a while, a one-off is. I think it makes a lot more sense for South Carolina to play there than it would to play in these absurd games in Atlanta that just feel cold to me. Thank you very much for the call. Bob is up next. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Ah, we're doing great.
Yep,
thank you.
I'm here. Yeah, I was just wondering, what's your thoughts about this year with the Florida Gators football team? You know, is this a make-or-break year for the new head coach, or does he have to wait until these transfers and all these, you know, other recruits that are coming in? It's going to make a difference.
Here's my answer on that, and I had the opportunity to talk to both Napier and Scott Strickland, his boss, 2 weeks ago in Destin, and I did not get the impression this was a make-or-break year. Strickland was emphatic in his support of Billy Napier. He said it would take a while.
Right.
They're all aware of that. I don't think this is a year that it's critical. I think if this year goes according to what the odds makers are saying, then I believe next year would be very important. But this year, I think an average to mediocre season is already built into the cake. I'm not saying if the bottom didn't drop out. I mean, but right now I think the fans are still upbeat and optimistic. It doesn't take much to change that, but I think any progress would be important. John is in Florida. Hey, John, you're on the air. Hello.
Appreciate you having me on your show, Paul. And,
thanks.
You know, Dwayne, isn't he just the gift that keeps on giving?
Oh, he's really. I'm entertained by him. I ask him things I would never ask anybody else.
I love it. And I tell you what, the girl who talked first on this segment, Shannon, she needs the call back. She was very impressive.
I mean, I don't say this as a criticism, but I felt like I was talking to some AI machine, because she was so smart. It was so well organized. As someone who speaks, the odds of getting a sentence constructed properly, extemporaneously, is very slim. And she nailed it.
She's the type of person some idiot thinks he knows college football. He challenges her, and she chews him up and spits him out. She knows what she's talking about. Paul, I was having a conversation, and this is more of an off-season question. I was talking with a Tennessee fan today, and we're talking about Neyland Stadium and how much we love college football and, you know, 100,000 plus and all the great things about it. And then we ended up getting on the subject of the Roman Empire. And you strike me as somebody who enjoys reading, mm-hmm. and maybe you enjoy world history. So I wanted to ask you maybe an impossible question, but I still was really intrigued by this conversation earlier. And he was making the analogy that modern day sports in America is the Roman Colosseum. Obviously, it's not as violent, but it's the same concept that the people who are in power use it as a tool of entertainment while the masses watch it. And they plan things in secret. And I guess what I'm really saying, is it possible that we love college football so much that it actually almost could be to our detriment?
John, there are certain pieces of world history I have not spent much time on. I have spent a lot of time on that piece, but both Greek and, and they follow the Greek Empire and the Roman Empire. I see the similarities, but I think we're a long way off. I mean, Rome fell for the obvious reasons. So there was just the gluttony, the debauchery, the depravity was just so overwhelming that what built that empire, one of the greatest, if not the greatest, in the history of the world, simply undid it. I don't think we are there yet. We are at I think the first stage of a tipping point. I think how we survive this moment is going to be fascinating. I do not believe, and I keep hearing administrators talk about this existential moment in time. I still don't think it's connecting with the fans. It's like watching politics, not to get into that, but no matter what you throw at some people, it doesn't seem to matter to the base. I think the base of college football right now listens to this conversation in places like this and elsewhere and goes on StubHub and tries to buy tickets for the next game. I don't think it matters. And I've seen no evidence of it mattering yet. I think television is a more serious issue, if I could bite the hand that feeds me. I think the fact that it's so easy to attain all day long and with such comfort, and now that betting has become so pervasive, that the drive to get to the game is lessened, although the intensity that we wait for and anticipate college football, I don't think has been affected one bit.
But, you know, Paul, if they had television during the Roman Empire, you know the Colosseum would be televised. So
you're right.
Television is just an extension of that.
You're 100% correct about that, and it's a fascinating subject, and I will dig deep and find some PhD on the I've had people compare what's happening in Washington more closely to the fall of the Roman Empire than college football.
Yeah, that was our conversation today, and somehow SEC football and Neyland Stadium and the Roman Empire all kind of got
I'm not saying that that the principles are the same, because the principles of college athletics at one time were bedrock. It was truly an experience into amateur athletics, and there was a high price that athletes paid because they had to still deal with academics. I think a lot of that is manufactured now, but I think we're heading there. One of the questions, I don't know if you heard the interview with Pat Forty, but
I did.
I am most interested in what happens we heard Greg Byrne talk about the other day that they were talking about a new basketball arena. We're on hold for the second while we figure out NIL. How many other things on a college campus are now going to be put on hold so we can continue to fight the battles of NIL?
And something else important I thought he mentioned, and then I'll let you go. Notre Dame, we have to make sure they do not hold college football hostage like they did during the BCS. They had all these rules just for them and everybody else.
John, I will help your mood on that one. I'm not being dismissive of Notre Dame, but I think the weight that Notre Dame carries today is minuscule compared to the way it used to be. And Notre Dame used to run this sport. Hey, thank you for the call. Fascinating subject, though. And we're going to get some scholars on here one day on a slow day. Not that today is rapid speed to analyze that. We'll take a break. More to come. Final 45 minutes straight ahead.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Welcome back. Michael is in Colorado. Good afternoon.
Hi, Paul. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm amazed and honored to be speaking with you. Thank you. Yeah, I'm a first-time caller, and I've loved your show for a long time, so thank you so much. Absolutely. And so I'll get right to my comment. I know you don't talk a lot about basketball, but there was something I was wanting to get your opinion on with the Denver Nuggets. So Gilbert Arenas, former basketball player, went on a podcast a couple weeks ago and said, no one will care if Nikola Jokic wins the NBA title. He didn't deny Jokic's greatness, but said that the two-time MVP lacks the it factor that draws the eyes of the younger demographic. He basically just said, no one's going to care. Let's be honest. He's not going to go from where he is right now to this mega superstar because he's not doing anything kids want to see. And, you know, I would personally disagree with that because he's, you know, a good example on and off the court. Why do you think players like Jokic don't get enough credit in the national media? Or do you think that they kind of don't get the credit they deserve?
Well, I mean, the NBA is about star power, and it always has been. But I think he is at the epicenter of it right now. And I think the biggest issue that happened to Denver was having to play Miami. And I realize Jimmy Butler put them on his back. But I think they would have been better off had it been Boston or someone else with a little more pizzazz. But I would strongly disagree with that. He is now one of the faces of the NBA. And I think as a result, and this thing is being watched by 10, 12, 13 million people. I mean, it has not been a compelling series, and more than likely it will be over tonight. But I don't think that is an accurate portrayal.
Yeah, no, I would totally agree. And I think, you know, the Nuggets have been kind of underrated throughout the years. And now that they're finally here, everyone, you know, much like the Heat, are kind of shocked to see, you know, the Nuggets and the Heat in the NBA Finals. Nobody really thought this, well, maybe the Nuggets, but
The reason is that the NBA, other than Giannis, has primarily been about two people, and it's been about LeBron and Steph Curry for the last 8 or 9 years.
Yeah, absolutely. And for good reason. I mean, you look at all LeBron's done for the league, but...
Well, I'm with you. I think that was an interest. I think who were we talking to a few weeks? It was Dan Issel, I think, who used to be the coach out there, and he said, I mean, it has just been one of those. There are a number of them, like the Hornets. There are other NBA franchises that just literally never. I mean, but the Bucks were in the same shoe until 2 years ago, weren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, the Bucks obviously won the championship. If they did not win the NBA title a few years ago, everybody would be so much harder on Giannis because, you know, obviously they lost early in the playoffs, but that championship really seals your future, you know, when you come up in future conversations. And I think that, you know, that's why this is so important for the Nuggets to win this year, because, you know, if they don't win the championship, everyone's going to say, well, Jokic is overrated, the Nuggets were overrated, no matter what, even though they had a great season. So I think that it is really important that they do win. I think they're going to win. I think, you know, the Heat, it's kind of insurmountable for them to come back right now. But it's important, you know.
I hear you. Michael, thank you very, very much. Appreciate the call from Colorado. Zach is up next. Hello, Zach.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum. How you doing today, sir?
We're doing well. Thank you.
You know, I appreciate the variety of your show. You know, I've been listening to your show for a long time, but basketball is just, it's over with. It's football time. Let's talk some football. You want to, Paul? You know,
I didn't think you would ever ask. Yes, I do want to talk football.
You know, I appreciate you not correcting that Notre Dame fan about how Notre Dame's been running the college football world, Paul. Everybody knows it's Alabama. Alabama's running the college football world. Can I get an amen?
Amen, brother. Preach on.
I know Georgia's got a little something going on, but I can't stand it whenever some Notre Dame fan or some Ohio State fan calls up in here talking about, oh, yeah, we running the college. How many national championships they got, Paul?
Notre Dame's last national championship was 1988.
Sheesh. That's been a while ago. I think they need to just back it on up and
Alabama has won, seven national championships since that. Think about that.
Yeah. Amen. I agree, Paul. Well, that's just all I want to say, Paul. And next time, you know, let them have it a little bit for you, boy Zach over here in Kurt Stove. I'm a solid listener to your show. I love it with all my heart. And I love you too, Mr. Feinbaum. I want you to have a good day.
Zach, thank you. You made my day by trashing Notre Dame. We'll take a short break. We come back. More right after this.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
So do you know what you're doing Wednesday night? Well, here's where you ought to be, 7 p.m. Eastern. We'll find out what's happening in 2024. The football opponents reveal. John is revealing next from St. Louis. So hello, John.
Paul, how are you today, sir?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Well, Paul, I want to talk a little about a serious situation, and I'm just going to call it the C word. And the C word, where I'm going here is we have a cancer that's growing in college sports right now. And the C word equals NIL. And right now, not only within the major conferences, but also the NCAA, and even at the federal government level, we have no leadership, Paul. We have no one that wants to really tackle what NIL means for college sports. And what's going to happen here is there's going to be such a consolidation of power that it's going to drive out the competitive nature of college sports in general. And it's just it's terrible. And I really don't think that your show is devoting enough time to the issue. And I think we all need to raise the bar and raise the hand and ask everyone, well, you know, what's going to happen here? You know, where is this all going? I mean, are we going to let the money ruin everything in college sports? and, you know, eliminate the level playing field?
John, those are all very thoughtful and legitimate questions, but I don't know if at this moment in time you can, or if there's anybody to stop where we are. And I know that sounds defeatist, but I was at a seminar the other day where everyone from the NCAA president on down was addressing the issue, but the head of the organization kept nudging them, let's quit talking about what's wrong, let's find a solution. I didn't hear one, by the way. What would the solution to your problem be? I'm not asking you to, it's not your fault, but
well,
the contracts are already done. All these deals are out there.
No. It's very simple. Okay. I think the model that needs to, that's a good model to use, is what's going on right now in the NFL. With the revenue sharing, with Plan B, that could be put into place in a structure such as that with college football, where there's a distribution of wealth, so to speak, to all programs and all conferences. And that way you're not going
to
have a
conflict. Why, if you're in some second-tier conference, what would you have done to deserve the revenues that the SEC or the Big Ten have earned?
Well, you're missing the point.
No, I'm not missing the point.
I think I'm hearing what I heard last week in D.C.
And I'm not trying to come off like an elitist here.
Well, you are coming off like an elitist.
But you're missing the major point of what... But the SEC went out and earned its deals. The Big Ten earned it. The rest of them are scrambling right now. And that's not my problem.
Paul, it's more, even more basic than that. What is this country founded on? There are basic principles.
Yes.
About fair and equal distribution and opportunities.
John, you're getting this country confused with some other countries in different
forms. No, we're not getting
it. On socialism.
It's not socialism, Paul.
Oh, it's not?
What I'm talking about is a level playing field and opportunities.
John, you have described socialism.
No, I haven't described socialism at all, young man.
John, explain to all of us why the wealth should be distributed equally.
What I'm describing is the opportunity for achievement in college sports where everyone has the same opportunities,
John,
that everyone else has. And right now, that's not happening. And, Paul, that's been going on for the last 50 years. That really started about 1970 year.
John.
Okay, where you saw consolidation of powers with conferences and donors and under-the-table deals that are just, you know, it just makes it impossible for everyone to compete.
There are a number of places in intercollegiate athletics where there's equality. You can play lacrosse in the Ivy League if you want. You can be on. You can row. You can be crew. You can play football.
Right.
You can go to the Patriot League if you want to play a high brand of college basketball.
Well,
but you're not going to get that. And you tried. The NFL is not. The NFL are 32 billionaires who sit in a room, and there is an equal distribution of a number of things of the television money, but there is not an equal distribution. There's not one pot where what the Cowboys make helps supplement the Green Bay Packers. They are 32 separate entities.
Well, you look at what the NFL has done, though. I don't know how long that's been going on.
Well, what the NFL has done is essentially, until recently, attempt to put out of business every single other league. I mean, I covered I covered the 1985 antitrust suit by the USFL against the NFL, mostly bankrolled by Donald Trump, and the USFL won. They proved damages. Unfortunately for them, the jury decided to award them $1, trebled in an antitrust case to $3, and it bankrupted the league. But still, the NFL has interfered with competitors for. I mean, what did we just get through watching in golf with this LIV Tour and the PGA? I mean, why do you think the PGA folded its tent last week?
I really don't. I don't know, and I don't follow it, so I'm ignorant about the LIV and the PGA.
Like they did not want to go into a courtroom. You're entitled to your opinion.
I'm just going to tell you something right now.
Okay.
Is I think you're selling out to the establishment. You're all part of the big money crowd, and you guys are just perpetuating this ridiculousness that's going on right now. And,
John, you may be surprised to hear this,
like
but I'm pretty proud of what
we... college football, love college sports, and want to see a level playing field, and I don't think you've listened to anything I said today, Paul.
John, I've listened to everything you've said, and I've heard it before. I've studied world history. I've studied socialism and communism. And I happen to like the way it is here in this country. And I'm all for helping everyone to be given an equal opportunity, but not when it comes to college football. I will draw the line there. And this conference we talk about here has no obligation to any other conference to supplement their coffers. They have earned it on their own. If you're a member of this conference, you will profit. And I'm terribly sorry that you believe that we have sold out here, but I'm proud of what we've done here. This is the number one show in America where college football fans of all walks of life can converge and express their opinions on a nightly basis. And if that's selling out, I'll take some more of it. We'll take a short break.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
After baseball, SEC Now will recap, and the game tonight that we'll be recapping is Tennessee at Southern Mississippi. Ticket to Omaha on the line. Eugene is up next. Good afternoon.
Good evening, Paul. How are you?
We are doing great. Thank you so much.
I'm going to preface this comment, Paul, by saying that I've always had an extreme amount of respect for Nick Saban, coaching ability, and also the way he communicates with the media. I just thought that at his press conference at the SEC spring meetings, he was just way off base when he said that college football was not a business. We're talking about a guy that's got over a $10 million talent fee. I mean, I think they charge you $100 to drive down University Drive in Tuscaloosa on game day. I mean, to say that college football is not a business, I mean, and he compared it to when he was at the Dolphins and Wayne Huizenga was the owner. I think the University of Alabama and Nick Saban probably profit more annually than Huizenga did and the Dolphins did back during that particular era.
Yeah, Eugene, but, I frankly did not realize. I know we talked about the NFL model down there, but college football is a billion-dollar business, and the biggest name in the industry is, guess who? Alabama.
Yeah, and that was the only thing that I took a little bit of offense to, just simply because I don't think exactly college football could be considered a 503C type organization by any stretch, especially with that amount of money.
That surprises me. I'm pretty embarrassed considering I was not far from him when he made the statement, but I didn't hear that. I'll check into what he meant. I thought he was talking about college football becoming more like the NFL, but I got the impression he thought that was a good idea. But
yeah, you can check it out, then. Okay. You can go back and watch his press conference and see what you think.
Well, thank you very, very much. We have certain people on the show we lean on to give us the very latest. They're called Sabanologists, and our chief Sabanologist is with us now from Montgomery, Alabama. I-Man is on.
Well, the chief Sabanologist. Paul, who was the two teams that played the basketball championship? Once it was over, I just kind of turned the page, but it was one team that was the Cinderella team.
Well, I think UConn. Wasn't UConn one of the teams?
UConn won it, though.
Yeah.
Who was the other team? I remember the commentators talking about the team that played UConn.
I think it was San Diego State.
Okay, San Diego State. They said San Diego State was an older team because all these players transferred into San Diego State, and these were older, more mature players playing against everybody else, and it wasn't fair. But those players left those schools because they were kind of pushed out because they were keeping the younger talents and that kind of thing, and they all just ended up at San Diego State. And, you know, I remember the people saying, well, the tournament's not good this year because, you know, none of the main names are there. But, you know, with these older teams, it kind of changed the narrative of all the names.
I thought that semifinal game between San Diego State, who was that other team that got there? It was an amazing game.
I thought the tournament was interesting.
Yeah, it was fascinating.
Because, you know, we always talk about the tournament being on the upsets. Well, we had Upset City this past tournament, and I thought it was entertaining to a point. And then when UConn won, it was just a blowout. But UConn's that traditional name. And now I'm looking at the football landscape, and your last caller there talking about the socialistic view and the game going away. You know, sometimes you got to quit watching all this background stuff and just watch the game and be entertained by it. Because it seems like the more we learn about the business of the game and the way it's handled, you know, it just seems disgruntled. It seems unfair. But, you know, what was it? Back in the 30s and the 40s, Yale and Harvard and all those teams were in the big boy leagues winning championships. But as time went by, they ended up in the Ivy League kind of playing the brand of football they play. And I agree with you totally. The SEC has earned everything that and as well the Big Ten, you know, for what they've gone out and done. And these other leagues.
I am for the little guy, and I know you are too, I-Man, because you are a little guy in the business world. But they're all – I mean, but you have – I don't believe in handouts to college football programs. And, I mean, what he said is patently absurd.
Yeah, I agree with you because there's room enough for everybody out there. You just can't outkick your coverage. And, you know, some of these smaller schools play in these bigger schools. They don't have the depth. They don't have the athletics, the athletes. They don't have the coaching abilities. They're outgunned from the get-go when we see some of these smaller schools play the bigger schools, although occasionally one of the big boys is overlooking that guy because they're looking ahead and they find themselves caught in a trap. But, you know, the game, it's just the way the game is played. I mean, you can't distribute equal wealth because if you took all the money out there and put equal pies out there, guess what? We would still have the same gameplay that's taking place today because the money would be spent in different areas for different needs, for different wants, and those kind of things. And it's just never going to be level. You put your 11 on the field, I put my 11 on the field, and good luck. That's the way it is.
But I don't understand. We've had calls today saying that this is the end of civilization. I mean, there are. Regardless of how much money everybody makes, there's really some more serious issues going on right now.
You know,
in the country than college football.
Everybody out there wants to be the first person to declare the end of the world And I don't know that the end of the world is coming for all of us at one time, but I do know this. The end of the world will come for each of us individually at some time. Have a good day, War Dan Eagle.
Thank you. Yeah. I feel like we have – today's the first day back after being off for a couple of years, because we've had – comparing college football to the Roman Empire. We had a guy from St. Louis advocating socialism that – this has been an utterly bizarre show for a Monday in June. And some of you are saying, will it ever end?
No.
I'm giving you a gift right now. It's over. We will take a break until tomorrow afternoon. We'll be one day closer to the SEC reveal on Wednesday night. We thank all of you for being part of the program.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.